one very handsome and beautiful, good-looking structure of a motor vehicle is manufactured. Very nice-looking body of the vehicle, a very high-class model, popular model, expensive wheels and tires, very nice, stylish steering wheel, very comfy and stylish seats, a car made to the highest specification, a latest model of a big manufacturer, expensive manufacturer. And if you stand that car, once it's made, in a showroom or exhibition center, then that car, whoever comes to see it, to look at it, to test it, he won't call it a car. Why? Because it doesn't drive. Rather, if you make it really beautiful and stand it there, and you say it's not moving, it's not a car, it's a model of the car. It's a model of the car. It will be the car when it will start and drive. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everything is there, the tires, the wheels, the body, the frame, the interior, everything you can see from the outside. But the reason is that it's not moving. If it can't move, then it's a model of a car. It's a model of a car. And even children make very big models of cars, or you can get sophisticated models of cars. But the car will be complete when there's an engine within the structure. When you fit the engine in, the value will increase. Then it will become a car, and it will sell in the tens of thousands, or maybe hundreds of thousands. And there'll be a value, a price tag on that car, and then it will take the individual to his destination. If there's no engine, then it's a model of a car. Very nice looking, beautiful on the outside, replica, but it can't drive because there's no engine in it. And people can just see that, this is the car that's to be made. So you can look at it and feel good about it, but you can't use it. So in Islam, we have a similar sort of example. It doesn't matter how much you decorate yourself with amal and present your Islam through deeds. Beautiful deeds can be performed. Very, very nice deeds can be formed. The peaks of ibadat can be reached. Nafl, voluntary, or whatever types of ibadah there are. But what Islam will it be? It will be like the model car. It cannot be Islam. If within that deen there is no engine, then you'll say, what is the engine for Islam? The engine room, the boiler room. We've forgotten it. We are so occupied about the model. He looks good. He's doing good. He's practicing ibadat, extra voluntary actions. But the man of understanding, the people of understanding will say, this is a model. This is just the external framework. This is not Islam, the genuine Islam. Just like the model car, what's the engine for the deen? Just like the car engine, when it's fitted, the value increases. And then customers come in droves to buy that car, because it can drive. So when the engine is fitted into Islam, what is the engine of Islam? Obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we fit in the engine room to the deen, then Allah Ta'ala says, I become the customer of this Islam. And I will buy this Islam from the believer. And that's why Allah Ta'ala says that I have bought your souls and your lives. And then the price tag that is put on that deen, Allah Ta'ala says it's put on in the heavens for that human being who obeys Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we don't understand this pivotal point, brothers. If we say we obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says, I am yours. Allah Ta'ala says, everything is attained via Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's association. Whatever Allah made in this universe, whoever, human beings, creatures, everything will be successful through one path. Only. Whoever will get uruj, the heights, the peaks, the success, the fame, the personality in this world and the hereafter, and whoever is accepted in the eyes of Allah, cannot be the model, has to be with the engine. And the most valuable thing they had was the engine, which drove them to their destination. And the beautiful example we have is the lives of the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. They are the guides for us. We have to grab their path, follow them. Close your eyes and follow the Sahaba. Don't look at the people of today. Beware. Beware. Don't obey the people of today. Don't run after people and their looks and their ways. Don't get deceived. As I said, it's a model. And nobody will buy that model. Doesn't matter how beautiful you make the model. It's a model. If within that model there's no ruh, no spirit, no engine, nothing driving to the destination. Do you understand what I'm saying? Has it come into your heart? Do you understand the point I've made? Yes, this is the point. Remember this. Remember this. Islam is not a wazifa. It's not parrot perched and bopping up and down. It's a reality. Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you the true deen, the example. And the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, they appreciated Islam. And if a person keeps on deviating, diverting, he will continue to do that. He won't reach to his destination. If we have obeyed Rasulullah, Allah says, then I am yours. Allama Iqbal, rahmatullahi, mashallah, he gave a beautiful poem here, a couplet that he summarized the whole of the Quran in this couplet. MashaAllah. This is what the Quran teaches us, that if you obey Rasulullah, Allah says, then I am yours. That everything, the pens and the ink, wherever a person's destiny is written in the heavens, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala says that when you become the ghulam, the servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you obey his sunnah, and you follow his ways and his methods and his framework, and you consider this to be deen and Islam, you don't follow the models of the world, the glitter and the fame of the world, then what happens? Allah Ta'ala says, and this shair, he stated, then Allah Ta'ala says, then I won't write your destiny. You will write your own destiny, Allah Ta'ala says. In your hand will be given your taqdeer, the pen, the ink to write your own destiny. And this is the life of the fakir, is the walis of Allah, who scribe their own destiny. Allah Ta'ala says, you are making your decisions. Whatever you say, Allah says, I will react to you. That's how Allah Ta'ala listens to his wali. Yuhbibkumullah. Allah says, you become my beloved. Beware. Wake up. Be conscious. Be careful. Life is a big test. Don't fall into the trap. Don't fall into the ditch of the dunya. You're reading Quran and you're crying. And you're reading naats. And you feel good. And you think you're a good believer. This is not the proof of deen. There's one proof, one path. And that is imitating the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You do ibadat. Only that worship will be accepted if it's done from top to bottom in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To this extent, that person should not see one thing lacking in the obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if you read two rakah nafil, that's enough. That's enough. Even if the fard is implemented, it has to be done in accordance to Rasulullah's way and form. But if we go off the track of the sunnah, you can do as much as you want. Your heels can be ground and dry. Your body can be frail. Your back could be bent and hunched. But Allah says, I will not accept this ibadat. This is ibadat of shaitan. You have not recited the Quran properly. You have not practiced the Quran properly. And this is where we fall down and fail. Allah says, the mujrimun, this is the difference between the mujrimun and the asal, the true, the genuine people. Yes? One is iman, that is clear. We have in front of us a person who doesn't have iman, he's on the left and the other person on the right. But after coming into Islam, there's a big differentiation in the amal, in the deeds. The true believer is he or she who recites the kalama of Rasulullah correctly and implements physically the kalama. And if we think that I am deendar, I'm fine, I pray a lot, I do a lot of ibadah and dhikr, today the biggest lacking point that lacks in the ummah, in the name of Islam today, everything is a model external. You will see in very few places the engine fitted into the model. And when the engine is fitted to the model, then it doesn't drive on the road, it floats in the heavens. So this route to success, my friends, is this. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He was a great personality, great individual. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Amazing shakhsiyat, individual. And his safat, the more we speak about his qualities and attributes, the more we could continue. And you will see that he was great in every single way. Such a great personality. Rasulullah gave him such a rank that if after me, said Rasulullah, if after me there was to be a Nabi, it would be Umar bin al-Khattab al-Faruqi. Faruq, the differentiator. He would differentiate from Haqq and the Batil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the history of mankind, wrote, Allah Ta'ala give the examples of mankind and people. When you see and read his examples, you're amazed. What a great person he was. That subhanAllah, look how many miles radius the ummah, the khilafat spread. Yeah? For thousands of miles, the khilafat spread. But he would lie down and sleep on a plank of wood under the branches of the tree. He didn't seek luxury. And at the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, you know about history, Baytul Maqdis, Jerusalem, people go for ziyarah there. And this was the fatah, the victory of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was chosen as the governor. And he was Darvish, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. He was a Sahabi. And he was made the governor, appointed the governor by Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat, and Allah Ta'ala gave him victory of Baytul Maqdis. You will have read the history, this waqiyah, this event. And then he sent a message to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, that we have overcome Baytul Maqdis, please come and do the inauguration, the opening ceremony for Baytul Maqdis. Hazrat Umar radiallahu bin al-Khattab was so happy when he heard the news. And he took hold of his belongings, and look, he was the Khalifa of his time. Remember, the Khilafat spread tens of thousands of miles radius. People knew his name, they would tremble on hearing his name, the Shahin Shah, the King of Kids. 26,000 owner of 26,000 marabba of land, which goes, one marabba is 20 acres, and 26,000 multiplied of that. He didn't have no helicopter, no plane, no protocol, no luxury. And he selected one person to journey with him, a ghulam, one of his workers, that you come with me. Not some special selection of companion. He said, look, you come with me. And he tied the dates in the cloth. He said, come on friend, let's go. And they took one camel. One camel, and how many journeymen? How many travelers? Two. What was the decision made? That this much you will travel on the camel, then you will get off, and then I'll come on the camel. So they accepted, they made a deal. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, the Amirul Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers. So they're traveling, camel, taking turns, alternating. By chance, what happened was that when they reached to the outskirts of Baytul Maqdis, the country where they'd overcome, then the servant, the worker was on the camel, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was walking alongside the camel with the reins of the camel. And the ghulam stopped the worker and said, Hazrat Amir, what are you doing? I think now here, you know, we made this system. Let's forget this system now. Let's forget the deal we made, because now we've come to that country where we have to enter, and there'll be people waiting for you, the Amir, that the king has come, and he has won. And I don't know what's going to happen now. So it'll be weird that I'm sitting on the camel and you're holding the rein. That we've only got one camel and there's no one behind us, near us, and they'll see us. So I can't do this. I feel bad about this. Let me come down on the ground. I'm feeling ashamed. And Hazrat Umar said, no, you stay on the camel. If Umar did not have adal, then today we would not have had this victory. I'm not that man. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, I leave it, and I consider myself the victory man, victorious. This is not that Umar. I'm the adil, just. I have to implement justice. And then the tears came out of the worker's eyes. And Hazrat Umar also started to cry. And his beard was wet. And when they reached the land, the qawm, the people, the nation were there. The opposition, they were amazed. Men, women, everyone. That look at this king who's coming, who has overcome this country. He overcame this land. People were shouting, clamoring, looking. And they were looking. And all the Muslims were there. And the army was there. And when they entered into Jerusalem, the scene was there. That this man, he is standing alongside the camel. He doesn't look like the king. He looks like the slave. He looks like the worker. And they started murmuring and gossiping. What's going on here? Is this that man, the king? Better than him is that man who's standing holding the rein. And the man on the camel, he's the king. He doesn't look like him. So when they reached there, Hazrat Umar said, listen, this is not the case. He is the king who has got the reign, said the slave. And that is the worker who is sitting on the camel. And this is Islam. This is Islam, due to which we have overcome this land. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu reached there, and he started to cry, and he embraced Hazrat Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. He said, come here, let's go to the shade of the tree. They sat down, and he cried and said, listen carefully the statement of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and understand what is Islam until the day of judgment. This Islam will continue. This was the call of Hazrat Umar, and this is history, and this is a light for the believers on their hearts. It should inscribe onto our hearts. He said, Abu Ubaidah, you overcame this land, this city. Now I, at this time, am the ruler who gave you the order to come here to overcome this place. He's crying, and Hazrat Abu Ubaidah is crying. Everyone's looking. He said, don't you forget yourself, and I won't forget myself, who we are. We are worse than this dust, this earth. I am that Umar that once, he was crying and said this, that my father Khattab, he had wealth, and he had camels, and he said to me, line up these camels in a line. And I used to put one camel in the line, the other camel used to come off the line. The other camel I put on the line, the third one would come off the line. Five camels I couldn't put straight on a line, and I was the son of an Arab. My father, he just knocked me. He said, you're the son of an Arab? And you can't control the camel? You're an Arab? You can't even put five camels straight? What bread will you earn? What is this? And he beat me. And he told me off. And today this Umar, he is the Malik, the Amir of this many thousand square meters of land. Whose Kamal is this? He said, this is the Kamal due to obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember Abu Ubaidah. We are here today. The respect we've got, whatever we've got, the pomp and the recognition is due to the imitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as long as the Muslims in the world in the same way obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and imitate him, but when they turn off the track, they will become dhaleel and wretched and cursed because they will have come out of the boundary of Islam. These were the words of the Rasul of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, written in history. Written in history that whatever we are today, whatever we've got is due to obedience to Rasulullah. This is the engine of the sports car. Remember what I said? The car in the showroom without the engine is a model. Put the engine into the model, you got a car, powerful. And you'll see many beautiful cars and children. You know, the garages, they make beautiful cars. They buy cars from the shop. And if you see their garage where they lay the cars out in a line, such nice models of cars, expensive manufactured, nice cars, but they're models. And this is our hal today. The ummah. We are in the same way, models and toys. Look at the masjid. Yes, as the generation goes further away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the weakness we see? Quran? No. At that time, there wasn't even the beautiful print of Quran at the time of the Sahaba. There weren't even the quantities of Quran in that day and age as we have now. As the time has passed further away, what have we got? Big masjids. Big structures, and we have small masjids with air conditioning and fans and nice architecture. But Islam did not start from this. As the time goes further away from Rasulullah's time, decoration increases, luxury increases, and quality of the structure increases. But the engines came out of the framework. And they became models. And this is our weakness today. The engine of Rasulullah's way has come out. The further we go away from Rasulullah's time, it gets worse. So Rasulullah said, the best generation is my generation. And then after that, and then after that, and then after that. And it will get worse. And what is it getting worse due to? Because it leaves the imitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, we are blank, empty box. Laughter and joke. Deen is a joke. Laughter. Oh, we have to do this as well. Oh, this is sunnah. What's this? Oh, leave this. What kind of talk is this, man? We're living in the modern age, 21st century. You're telling us to do this? 1% maybe you will find Muslim who will imitate Rasulullah. But rather, I would say even those who follow the sunnah are weak inside. They shake. They tremble. If every day you don't speak to them and swear by Allah to them and promise them and guarantee them and don't speak about the Quran and cry to them and give them bayans, then even they, I think, after a few days, they'll start to deviate and get entrapped and come off the track. Brothers, is a big, big zulm that we do on ourselves to leave the deen. Allah Ta'ala says, cry, cry, do dua. Allah, Allah, allow us to imitate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allow us to obey him, to love him, to imitate him. Sisters, brothers, we don't even know today, is this halal or haram? Is this jais or not jais? We ask, shall I do this or shall I not do this? And in this tazabzab, in this left and right and up and down, we pass our lives 30, 40, 50 years. Is this jais? Is not jais? Is this important or important? Is this sunnah or not sunnah? Is this halal or haram? So much confusion in the ummah. Why? Why is there confusion? Because we've taken the ruh, the standard of Rasulullah out of deen. So there's no standard, halal and haram. There's no standard, no gauge, no measuring instrument against which we can measure our deen every second of the day. Because sunnah, Rasulullah's way, physical, is the gauge, is the measuring instrument. So we take that out, then who should we measure against? Is this halal, haram? Is this right or wrong? Is this permissible or permissible? Shall I do this or no? Is this important or important? We have a dilemma today. Anyway, alhamdulillah, don't lack hope, don't be despondent, have courage, have determination, and promise Allah, whatever I do, doesn't matter how much I change, Doesn't matter what comes around me. But and if the engine's not fitted to my framework of my life, then I'll be a model of a Muslim with no ruh, nothing, no value. Allah says the model has no value. Let's pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives us true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, deep rooted love. And may Allah ta'ala allow our weaknesses to disappear. And time again we have to analyze ourselves, reflect on ourselves, never be deceived. Oh, this man, this person said, I can do this. It's jaiz. No man needs to tell us to do anything. One proof. One basis. Did Rasulullah do this? That's it. Is this his sunnah? That's it. And so if you want to imitate, then imitate the family of Faruqi. Abdullah bin Faruq. So from all of the Sahaba, this was his khatab. He was the lover. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, the son of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, was the Ashik of Rasulullah sunnah. This was his title, Ashik, the lover of the sunnah. People were amazed, the Sahaba were amazed at Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar's love and imitation of Rasulullah's deen and his way. Look at his example. What was his basis? Now listen here. And this is the basis. Yeah, he wasn't some small-time man. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, muhaddith, hadith expert, deen expert, scholar. What was his foundation? About imitation of Rasulullah and his sunnah, how to obey it, how to follow it, how to practice it. Beautiful. Once he was walking with some other companions with him, and he got off his horse or camel, and everyone was with him. Many sahaba were with him, sahabi. He got off his horse and he went and he sat next to a tree. Next to a tree. And the sahaba said, eh? What's he doing, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar? Is he unwell? He's sitting down. Is he resting? Why is he suddenly stopped next to a tree? Yeah, they were on a journey from Makkah to Medina. Long journey. And he got off and he said, Hazrat. They said, Hazrat, are you okay? Are you well? Are you unwell? He said, no, no, no. He said, why are you stopped here next to the tree? He said, once I saw Rasulullah, I was traveling with him, and Rasulullah got off his horse or camel, and he leant against this tree for some time. You know, like at the time of need or rest, he said, so I did the same. I don't know why Rasulullah sat here, how he did, I saw it, what was the objective, but I saw him sitting like this, so I did not want to leave this sunnah. I didn't want to leave this on. This was Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar's basis. He said, I don't want to think, why did Rasulullah do this? How did he do it? At what time? Why did he need to do it? Is it important? What was the reason? No. He said, the objective to imitate is that there's benefit upon benefit upon benefit. There's no loss. There's no loss in imitating. So the benefit here in imitating Rasulullah, we shouldn't think, why am I doing this? How did I do this? Why didn't I do this? We attained the narration and we do it. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, karamallahu wajh, he had a camel and he started to wander on the camel. And he was wandering on the camel. I said, Hazrat, what is it you're wandering around on the camel, round and round? He said, I don't know why, but once I saw my master, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the same way he was just going around in circles on the camel, so I am repeating that sunnah exactly as I saw it. Here, we don't even decide, is it sunnah? Is it sunnah muakkada? Is it mustahab? Is it necessary or not necessary? We argue for days. Brothers, this is not our foundation. Rasulullah's connection is not on this foundation. I'm not speaking fakiri, muftiyan, scholarly, everything's there, fine. But I'm talking about amal, basic amal of deen. Our amal should be, Rasulullah do this, we don't need to argue about it. He did it, that's it. End of story. This hadith has got to me, he did this, he's reached to me, Rasulullah acted on this, he practiced like this. If you start arguing after that, it means you don't want to do it. Why did he do it? How much was it sahih? Is this da'if? And this was, did he do it for this reason? No. Close your eyes, that's it. Doesn't matter. Take any sahabi. If you take one sahabi, you'll be successful. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, grab his ways. Grab his practice, his example. I'm going to imitate Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. We know he imitated Rasulullah, whether we know why he did it or not, but we're going to do it. That's it. And on that action, he followed this sunnah. And if we practice it, we don't know why today, we don't see the benefit. But he had that iman, that before passing away, the hikmah of this practice will come in front of us. And Allah Ta'ala will explain it to us, that behind this was this secret, this reason. And that's why Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam practiced this deed. So success equals one action. Although everything apart from that, you will walk around and you will hit the walls, the brick walls. You will not attain nothing. It's sad. To the extreme that we have to work so hard and we think we have to crush our desires and we have to compromise with our life. Brothers, we're in Islam. We are believers. We're on the true path, the haq path of Islam. Look at those people who gave their efforts and their time and their energy and what they attained. Forget the men. Look at the women of that time. Look at the slaves of that time who had to present their necks and they were stretched, their bodies and their tongues were pulled out of their mouths. There was a slave woman at that time in Makkah Tul Mukarramah. I think it was Zunayra radiallahu anha. And she, her Malik, he was a zalim, oppressor, extreme. I can't remember his name. He used to do dhulam. She became a believer. He did extreme oppression on her. When he found she was a Muslim, what did he do one day? Astaghfirullah. He took the rope and he put it around her neck and he dragged her. And so suddenly did he drag her that her eyes, they became blind. Blind. Brothers, this was their iman and what they gave for their deen. Woman, sister, slave woman, African. She had no status. She was poor. No one to assist her. No one to free her. Wahid, she had belief on Allah. Allah, what a link, what a link. Imagine her iman. No friends, no associates, no one left or right, nothing she can see, no relative. There's dhulam, 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 darkness. And who does she turn to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this small thing? But Allah, is he listening to me or not? Is he going to help me? Oh, should I believe him? Is he going to come and help me? Is this true or not? Look at their yaqeen. Did they have doubt? And they believe without seeing. They didn't see Allah. She was a slave woman, illiterate, jahil, couldn't read, write, no alama, no sahabiya, great. And her eyes, she became blind. And when her eyes went, then her master said to her, to that sahabiya Zunayra, may I be sacrificed on the dust on her feet, subhanallah. If you can't love a sahabiya like this, then who are we going to love and have respect for? What a khatun, what a woman. And her master said, that zalim, what does he say to her? Your eyes have gone. Now call your Lord. That who's going to bring your eyes? You used to disrespect your idols and your eyes have gone. I can't remember what the names he gave the idols. And she said, you disrespected your idol. He said to her, that's why your eyes have gone. Now call your Lord. If he can give your eyes to you, give him. Ah, but I've showed you that you disrespected your idol God. Now call your God. He said to her. And she came into passion. She raised her hands. And what did she say? Listen. She said, my Mawla. Oh Allah, you know me. And I know you, Allah. And my hands would never rise up to ask from you, Allah. Never would they rise up, knowing that every atom is given for you. And I would never raise my hands to ask you for help, because I know it's there. But this zalim oppressor who doesn't believe, who rejects you, today he said such a big statement that my passion came into being. That call your Lord, he said, Ya Allah, make him dalil and make my eyes full of light. She did dua and the heavens shook. It didn't take a second and her eyes had light. She said, now tell me, is there God or not? Is there God or not? The same woman, when the situation changed for the better, she went from Makkah and Hazrat Umar came and he saw her. When he saw her, he started to cry. She said, Umar. Hazrat Umar was also from amongst those people at the time of Jahiliyyah. They used to whip also these people. And when she saw Umar, she said, Umar, tell me now. You used to whip me. Oh, do you forget me? And Umar started to cry. He said, what can I say to you? When I see you, you took the whips. At that time I never saw him. And that's why I used to whip you. I didn't see my Lord. But now I'm the servant of my master, who you are also the servant of. So my brothers, this is Deen, Islam. We have nothing that we've given. We've just got a bit that we imitate Rasulullah. And even that, we make thousands of excuses and rubbish statements and nonsense. Allah, we want Firdaus. Allah, I want to close my eyes. I want to be in a dream. I'm in prostration in Jannatul Baqi, in Masjid Nabwi. And this is our Deen. And then we stand up and we don't even imitate the Sunnah. We want Jannah, we want Baqi and Firdaus, we want dreams and the doors of the masjid opening. We should be ashamed of ourselves. Ashamed of us. For the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah. This is darkness and deception and delusion. And fraud. There's one basis of success. One measuring instrument, one standard, one ruler. Why do we deceive ourselves? Why do we blindfold ourselves and talk nonsense and rubbish? The deen is not sunnah. There's only one mujahid in front of us. We are given food. Allah gives us bread and food. We are in that day and age today, in which there's no poverty. There's no tightness. Today, all the brothers sitting, I ask you, one of you here, tell me, is there anyone from you today who takes zakat money? Does any one of you deserve zakat money as charity? No. And look at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the standard came from. Look at their halat, their condition. That this one sunnah, to practice one sunnah, we think is mujahidah, is too difficult and hard, we have to sacrifice our time and effort. How can I do this? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And we make such claims that we are this and that. Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala has given us deen, easy deen. And Allah has given us one way, and we become arrogant. Remember, you are Sufi, Hazrat and brothers. All of our dhikr and recitation will become drama, and will come in front of us on the Day of Judgment. It will all be drama and show, and just showing off. There will be no status of our practice and our deeds. Everything will be wrapped up and tossed away. There will be standard and respect just for one ibadat, one Quran. That Quran, that practice, that amal will be accepted only and only if it's wrapped in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember what I'm saying. No man has ever become a wali. No man has ever reached close to Allah. No ghus, no kutub. Only he has come to that status when he had the noose of the sunnah around his neck. And he came totally into the life of the sunnah. You can do 10,000 hajj. Abu Jahl used to live in Makkah. He used to do tawaf of the Kaaba every day, Abu Jahl. And we go from here. He lived there. Think when you go. Think that, where am I going? What's the condition of my life? We have hopes Allah is going to forgive my sins. I'm going to do tawaf and umrah. And after we come back, we make announcement. Oh, Haji sahab's come back. And umrah sahab's come back. And this sahab's come back. Even umrah. But the heart, I can't understand. That insan, human beings, are we blind? Are we mad as ummatis? Quran we read every day. What is the message? We don't understand what's written in the Quran. All of the history of the sahaba. What kind of Muslims are we today? What deen is it we're practicing? That if we read these points, the sweat comes off the forehead, and we have to give dawah and remind people and tell them, and we are getting closer to death day by day, hour by hour. We say, no, I don't need to do this, and it's alright, I'm going on umrah, Allah will forgive me, Allah is ghafoor rahim, I don't need sunnah, just forget it, and ibadah is enough. How can this be? For one practice of one sunnah, we make so many excuses. Hundreds of excuses. Don't you understand what I'm saying? After today, understand this point. And now I'm repeating, nothing will be useful for us, only imitation of the sunnah will be useful. If you understand one action is sunnah, if you didn't know, you didn't know. But then read, learn knowledge from the ulama and scholars. Or do you want to learn debates, or call him kafir and bidati, grab his neck, he's wrong and I'm right, I've got more knowledge, give fatwa to him, look at his madhab and criticize his salah and call this person disbeliever. And this is the deen of today. And call him bidati, innovator, and this is daif and weak and ilm. We learn ilm so we can debate people, sit on the mimbar and call people bad and spoil the Islam and the ummah and the love. Brothers, servants of Allah, think for a second, think. What do we have to spread today amongst the ummah and the people? The thing that Rasulullah SAW left with us, man ahyaya sunnati, that the sunnah will be buried. The sahaba said, how can this be, Ya Rasulullah? How can this be? Will there be Muslims at that time? They won't practice the sunnah. They were amazed, shocked that in that day and age, Rasulullah ﷺ, close to the Day of Judgment, there will be Muslims and they won't practice sunnah. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, yes, they will call themselves Muslims, but they won't practice my sunnah. They will call themselves Muslims. They will be Muslims when you see their masjids, because Quran, Talawat, recitation, Sahaba, Ikram were listening. That look how they will recite the Quran in melodious tones, and how they will recite the Quran, how they will read the Quran, and they will have tafsir and commentary sessions and hadith and gatherings, and they will claim that they have love and connection with Allah and du'as, and they're just waiting to die so that Jibreel will come for them with a transport, and they think they will be transported straight into Jannah. Rasulullah said this. The sahaba are listening. And Rasulullah said, in that day and age, one person from the millions of people who will revive the sunnah, subhanallah, ahya sunnah. Ahya, revive the sunnah. Ahya. And he, Rasulullah said, man ahya ya sunnati. A person who revives in that day and age one sunnah. Man ahya ya sunnati. In the fasad al ummati. Do you know what is the reward? Ahya of the sunnah. And Rasulullah is telling the sahaba of this day and age that such a qawm will come, such an ummah will come, it will be very difficult. So, brothers, when you take off your feet, ask, how am I taking my shoes off? Not like mad, crazy people, like animals. Which foot to take off first? Which shoe to take off first? Which one to put on first? Which foot to go in the masjid? Which foot to come out of the masjid? We don't even know how to put the shoes on. We teach the children, but don't teach them. No, put the Quran in the hand of the child. Don't want to teach him sunnah. That's why when the child reads the Quran, sunnah de Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, teach the children. And the Quran will come into their hearts after that. Yeah? Yeah? somebody was saying to me, give me wazifa, my child, his hips is hard. And I couldn't think of something. I said, okay, there's one tariqah. From today, teach your children the sunnah practices. He said, huh? Drink, how to drink water, how to eat, how to take the shoes off, how to put the shoes on. He said, and I said, come back to me after 2 weeks and keep teaching your children. He came back to me after 2 weeks. He said, Hazrat, my child is doing hifz so fast, it's amazing. Ah, I taught him sunnah so much that I started to practice sunnah as well, and I'm successful as well now. So when you obey Rasulullah, Allah says, then I will be yours. And when you start doing this, you will write your own destiny. Brothers, today nobody teaches their son or daughter sunnah. Ah, we want to be the superstars. Make him the alim of his time, the qari of his time. And that alim who comes, he's the most opposite to Rasulullah's sunnah. He debates about not practice sunnah. And then they go to become imam. They have the imam on the head. And then they leave the institute without the imam on the head. Allahu Akbar, they go into the institute, Darul Uloom, to become an alim with the imamah. And when he graduates years after, he doesn't have an imam on his head. Oh, it's not important, not necessary debates. This scholar said this, you don't have to wear this. And he tries to find the proof, to prove, astaghfirullah. In this day and age, brothers, we need to protect our iman, preserve the iman. Look how dangerous a day and age we're living in. Dangerous a generation. Have you seen this? In this situation, there is no iman with the person in his heart. When he is linked to the sunnah, I swear by Allah on this prayer mat, the person who has this iman, who says sunnah is not necessary, the Rasulullah's sunnah, he proves to people that you don't have to practice it. And he has no respect for the sunnah. I swear by Allah, wahdahu la sharik, he cannot have iman in his heart. He has no iman in his heart. I swear by Allah, he has no iman in his heart. Allah has wrapped his iman and tossed it to the side. Allah says it has to be according to the sunnah. Make your relationship strong. One is that qawm who's deceived. Love, 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 love. No practice. 1 hour speech. Muhabbat, 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 muhabbat. They're crying. But there's no practice of sunnah. They stand up crying. They leave the gathering crying. And they just wave their hands, shake their hands, and they're crying. And they're leaving. They know what they said. Just talking, talking. And then they leave the gathering and there's nothing there. No form, no dhalim. That you're crying for this person. Hazrat Hussain radhiyallahu anhu, what did he do? Then there's another sector. Muhabbat, muhabbat. That month's going to come. Love of Rasulullah, love of Rasulullah. Hubbe, hubbe, ishkan, ishkan. This and that. And they don't even know what's the meaning of love. What is the name of sunnah? They've forgotten the hadith in which Rasulullah said, "Man habba sunnati fa man habbani, wa man habbani kana ma'ya fil jannati." My love is that love when the person follows my sunnah. But no, we have love, but no sunnah. Oh, if you have love, you'll be forgiven. If you have love in the heart, you'll be forgiven. Become ashik and shout out, "I'm a lover," and everyone will be forgiven. Astaghfirullah. So many people, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and there are nasheeds and people shouting out, "You are all ashiks, we've come to the gathering for the sake of Rasulullah." Peer Sahib said, "We're all forgiven." That's it, we did dua and we're all forgiven. After today, never compromise on one sunnah, okay? Never consider any sunnah small. Every day we eat roaster and leg and thigh. Listen to the sunnah of eating, we have to fulfill the sunnah, okay? Never will you have a stomach ache after this, inshallah. Never. With the salt start the food, and with the salt end the food. Yeah? When you start eating, start with the salt. When you finish eating, finish with the salt. You start with the specks of salt, and when you finish eating, finish with the specks of salt. Okay? Take a bit of salt out of the salt container, put it onto your finger, and lick it. It's written upon the sunnah that approximately 100 illnesses of the stomach will finish. And we say, "Oh, it's not necessary." Research after. Listen to what I'm saying, okay? Research after. Just understand what I'm saying. That you will get a way out from this sunnah. You will get a way out from the loss. Don't think, "Oh, we used to take the shoes off like this." Allahu Akbar, I saw my Hazrat in my life. Never did I see him once. So many years in the masjid, on Hajj, in Medina, in Makkah. I traveled with him everywhere. And he had the same style. He would take his feet out of the shoe, the left one, put it on top. And then he'd take his feet out of the other shoe. Then he'd go into the masjid. Then he'd come back in the same way. Yeah. So you take your left foot out of the shoe first. Yeah, and then the shoe's on the floor. So you take the left foot out. It's apparent, obvious, that if you take the foot out, the left foot, so take the left foot out of the shoe, put the left foot on top of the shoe, and then take the right foot out. Yeah, this is the tariqah, the method. Yeah, and then so you took the left foot out and put it on top of the shoe. "Don't worry, my shoe's going to get crushed and spoiled." Then take the right foot out. And then when you put the shoes on, put the right shoe on first, and then put the left shoe on. That's the sunnah way. So learn the way of the sunnah. What's the sunnah of this? How do I sleep in the sunnah way? How do I drink in the sunnah way? How do I eat in the sunnah way? When I finish eating, how do I follow the sunnah? Every single action in the life, I will tell you, barakat, millions will come into your life. Millions of barakat with these actions. Millions. And one sunnah, a person whose child doesn't do hifz, then teach him sunnah first. And his brain will mushroom and develop and he will do hifz quickly. Practice sunnah, tell your children the first. Long topic. We say there's only one sunnah, miswak. Yeah? Miswak is one sunnah. Now if you make a niyyah that I'm ill and I've got a fever, Allah, due to miswak, allow my sickness to go, and you'll do miswak and the sickness will go. Your fever will go. Your temperature will go. Whichever niyyah you make with the sunnah, if you're putting your shoes on in the sunnah way and you got a problem, Allah, I'm following this sunnah to put the shoes on in the sunnah way. Allah, please solve my problem. You are following the sunnah, putting the shoes on the right way, and Allah will solve your difficulty, which could be thousands of miles away. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, recite Durood Sharif.